right, welcome back to the Mid-Range Podcast. My name is Jacob Weiss. I'm here with my co-host, Bryce Buchanan. Bryce, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. Ready to talk some ball.
So you've been, college basketball is back. Obviously, Nick and I did a little recap after the first night, talked a little Arizona, talked a little BYU, but the most important thing was the TCU recap.
Yeah.
We got the whole referendum on TCU and what they need to do to turn their season around. But here we are a couple days later, a couple more days of game. I think that first slate was special. Couple big ones. It's been a little slower the last couple days, but we did see Cam Boozer and Duke in their debut against Texas a couple nights ago. Bryce, what'd you think about Duke? Where are you at with Cam Boozer and that squad?
Yeah, so with Cam Boozer, obviously he started slow in the first half. I believe he was 0-for-7 in the first half, and then kind of came out in the second half and felt like he shot a lot better. I feel like he was more aggressive in the second half. I think he ended up with like 15 and 13, which to have a, you know, quote unquote slow night and end up with a double double, that just means you're really good. So, I think he's you. Obviously, that first game, you got to get acclimated. I know exhibitions are exhibitions, and he came in and played Tennessee in an exhibition. But it's still that first game. It's the Dickie V Invitational. That's obviously a special night with just how much, you know, Dickie V means to college basketball. But, you know, I thought he weathered the storm in the first half. And from a freshman, that's something that you really like to see, and coming out strong in the second half. But I don't want to go without saying of how, you know, fantastic Isaiah Evans played. You know, he you know, took Duke and kind of put them on his shoulders for a majority of that game. Ended up with 23 points, shooting 7 for 13 from the field. Duke's going to have nights like that from him when, you know, Boozer's not necessarily having a, you know, sensational night like most expect. They're going to have guys around him. And Dame Saar also played well. Duke was a little slow in the first half, but I think the final score showcased just how, you know, good Duke was and winning 75-60 against a scrappy Texas team with Sean Miller. Obviously, we know Texas is a good basketball team. They're in the SEC, so obviously they're good. But yeah, I thought Duke played great. I thought Isaiah Evans had a really good night. And I think we saw a little bit of Dame Saar as well, which I got to see him live and just, you know, looking at him, you could tell he's going to be good. And just from his background in basketball, I'm excited to see what he does the rest of the year. And Duke in general, I think they can have a really good squad.
Yeah, it was definitely a little weird to see them struggle in the first half. Losing at halftime was definitely not on my bingo card for Duke's debut. Boozer, I will say, I was a little... It was a little underwhelming. Like, we can say it, like, you know, we can put it how it was. Like, it was not, you know, you shoot 3 of 12 from the field as a big guy and most of your shots are coming from inside. Like, that's not ideal. And, like, you appreciate 13 rebounds from the guy, but he's obviously going to have to be a more significant scoring threat or at least offensive hub of some kind. Because, like, we saw the passes he was making against Tennessee in that preseason game. I don't think we quite saw the playmaking chops to that level in this game. But if he can be that, obviously it's literally his first game. But I think what you see with it's tough because you want to grade him, you know, fairly given the fact that it's his first game. But I know we were talking about this earlier today off the pod, but like the way these true freshmen are starting out this year, it's hard to give him that benefit of the doubt when you see guys like Cole Pete go out there and have maybe the greatest debut in college basketball history, or what's the guy's name for Baylor? It's slipping my mind right now, but he had a great game as well.
It is slipping my mind too. But yeah, he also did. And I will say one thing on Cameron Boozer. He obviously didn't have it going from the field. So what do you do when you don't have it going from the field? You attack the basket and you draw fouls. 9 for 12 from the free throw line. that's something as he grows and continues to grow that I think he'll continue to do more when the shot's not necessarily falling that night. So that's something that you love to see out of a freshman. Let's just not get to the extent of foul merching up at Purdue and Zach Edey where we're calling fouls overnight on him like that. Yeah. But you do love to see that out of a freshman attacking the basket and drawing fouls where you can get those easy points. You know, free throws get you going, and maybe not necessarily it did on Tuesday night, but, you know, in the future you hit a few free throws and then, you know, you can start – the basket gets a little bigger.
It is one of the best indicators of, like, NBA success for these guys, which I think goes, like, underrated a lot of the time. But, like, if these guys who just, like, pound the paint, like, get inside and, like, get fouled, get free throws, like, shoot 10-plus free throws a game, it's, like, that's a really valuable skill set regardless of, like, how you feel about the optics of it. It is, like, it provides winning basketball. So that is a good point. You do have to give the kid credit for that, but if you look around outside of Duke, what did you see from some of these freshmen across the country? Anyone you want to highlight specifically?
Well, obviously, the highlight of the night is Koa Pete, or the highlight of the week is Koa Pete. I don't think we'll see a freshman be that, you know, on his debut be that good again. That was probably one of the best debuts I've ever seen against the best or one of the best front courts in the country. Yeah. To do what he did and how he did it, I think did he hit 1-3 maybe, or did he even hit a three?
It was mostly interior. He was getting inside a lot.
All interior, and to do that on three, you know, really good inside presence in Florida, it's really impressive. And then you just keep going down the line. Darren Peterson had a great debut, 21 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. AJ Diabonsa, I highlighted him in my video that I did yesterday. I thought he played with a ton of poise. I thought he didn't ever get too rushed in his shot. I thought he controls his body really well when driving to the basket. He's got a really, really good-looking three-point shot as well. I thought he impressed me a lot in that game against Villanova. And just to touch on that, I thought Villanova actually looked a lot better than I thought they would.
Yeah.
Just coming into that game, I kind of thought BYU would kind of roll in that one. But, Villanova definitely impressed me. And then you got the two freshmen from Arkansas and Darius Acuff and Malik Thomas, both going for 20-plus. And then Nate Amant, 18-9. And then you can even continue. Caleb Wilson, Mikael Brown Jr., 11 points. Trey McKinney went for 21 and 6 threes in his debut. So it's a special class. I know we highlighted it, I think, on the first pod I did here, that this freshman class could potentially be one of the best we've ever seen. I think the draft next year is going to have some stars, future stars in the NBA. So I know, as you know, NBA fans got to be excited about that, and I think that's going to bring more attention to college basketball, which is, you know, obviously the goal and what, you know, college basketball fans want is more people watching it. So I think these freshmen are going to open a lot of people's eyes. I've just been so impressed with all of them. I think just down the line in any, it doesn't matter if you're a 5-star, 4-star, 3-star, they all had, you know, fantastic debuts, and that's tough regardless if you're playing, you know, playing Duke or playing UNC or playing, you know, whoever it is. Coming into your first game, majority of them in your home arena, you're playing again in front of a crowd that you probably never played in front of. It's impressive. So I thought a lot of them looked really good, and I'm excited to see what they can continue to do as the year goes on.
Yeah, I think it's a cool little tidbit since we're on the freshman topic is, you know, this is the first time since, I think it was 2008, that the entire top 10 freshmen went to different schools. So, like, it's not only, like, a super talented class, but it's, like, guys everywhere. You got, like, you know, you have Mikael Brown at Louisville getting it done. You got Cam Boozer at Duke. You got Acuff down in Arkansas. You have, you know, even like, you know, Elijah Arenas won't be playing this year, but he goes to USC. It's like the whole scope of the country, you have these guys coming in everywhere, like a Mint at Tennessee. It's like, it's not like in the past where we've seen like, okay, RJ Barrett and Zion and Reddish are all going to go to Duke and they're going to make this like power team, because the thing is, that's just not the optimal way to build a college basketball team anymore. But what is optimal is finding a freshman star that can come in and play alongside your transfer guys, your guys that have been there for a couple of years, and take you to the next level. And you see that with Louisville, and you see that, who absolutely stomped. I forget who they played, but they were up like 90 to 30 or something crazy.
Yeah. It was ugly.
But like, you know, you have Louisville who like brings in a bunch of older transfers and then sneaks in a Mikael Brown Jr. It's like, all right, you're going to be like the engine of the offense. Cam Boozer comes in at Duke with all these guys that have been at Duke for a couple of years and are looking to kind of take bigger roles, but they don't have to be superstars. Like Isaiah Evans had a big game, but he doesn't have to have 20 points every game because you have this talent. And then also Cam Boozer doesn't have to have 20 points every game because he's got talent around him already. And it's like, it's making the margin, like, the margin for error for these freshmen is as high as it's ever been, in a good way, because it's like, you don't have to come in and be perfect because you have guys with you that are going to be able to take the pressure off. And like, are you going to be able to work off of these auxiliary players on the outside? And it's like, it is cool. And it's like, it was really fun to see like all of them just like, most of them, I mean 90%, just going right in, and like, it's just, they all looked comfortable. I honestly thought, like, of anyone who I thought DeBanza, I said this on our episode on Wednesday, I thought he looked a little slow to me. I was a little, yeah, I had a little bit of like, so Nikki and I were talking about this, and we were disagreeing on the principle of it. My thought was like, it just seemed, if everything for DeBanza seemed like he had to work for it. Like, it seemed like he had to go find, he had to take three pump fakes in the post to get his layup offer. He had to go, like, take the tough mid-range shot. It just didn't feel like he was playing within the offense. And then it didn't feel like he was creating easy offense. And when you watch, like, when you watch Koa Pete, it was just like, everything was easy, and everything was within the offense, and everything was within the flow. And like, I do wonder, but BYU I think is really good, and like everyone else I thought popped. I think Saunders will be better as time goes on, but it's interesting. Like, where do you think that, is this going to be a year where we see a freshman led team on top of college basketball again? Because it's been a few years since we've seen that.
Maybe, potentially. I don't know if it'll necessarily be freshman-led just because of the sheer amount of transfers and high-level transfers that have went to all of these schools. I think you're going to see a lot of these freshmen, like you said, come in and fill these holes that you don't necessarily in today's basketball, a lot of these freshmen don't get to, you know, unless you're high, you don't get to play as much as you would see in the past, or they go to these different schools and kind of like you said with the Dukes of the Zion Williams and RJ Barrett, Cam Reddish, all those. I don't know if you'll necessarily see them necessarily be the leader of that just because there's so many other good players around these freshmen. Koa Pete popped. He had 30 points. Jaden Bradley also had 27. You know, just for Nate Amint popped, had 19 points. And, you know, granted, Jacoby didn't have the best night, but Jacoby's probably going to be your leading scorer most nights just because of the sheer amount of shots he's going to take. Mikael Brown Jr. at Louisville, he's just got so many transfers and older guys around him that he might not necessarily be the lead of it, but he'll be a big part of it. The only school I would say, and just off the top of my head, would probably be Duke, just because of how good Cameron Boozer can be and just the sheer dominance I think he can control in a game. And potentially even at BYU as well with DeBanza. I think he'll have to take over some games. And that's no knock on Richie Saunders and Kiba Keita. They're also very good pieces to that team. But I think there's going to be more opportunity for him to take over and kind of lead that team. But it's still a college basketball of old transfers that are probably going to win in the end, in my opinion. I just think that's how college basketball is transitioning. But I will say, this is where I think the NIL comes back into play, where you don't see all these freshmen going to these same schools. So there's more of an opportunity for them not to have to just go in and be these leaders. They can grow as the season comes and goes, and they can have these speed bumps, because you're not building teams like, you know, Calipari did with five, you know, All-American freshmen coming out of high school. You don't have to do that anymore, because you can go get your Nate Immense at Tennessee and your freshman there and pay him millions of dollars. But you also have your pieces that you brought back from last year. You have your piece in Jacoby, and other pieces in the transfer portal. So I don't think we're going to see necessarily a freshman be the leader of a basketball team. I could be wrong on that. I think Duke and BYU would be examples of that potentially. But there's just so many good players in today's college basketball that I think it's sheer team effort at this point, just with the amount of talent on all of these teams. I know it's early. I know it's week one, and obviously opinions are everywhere, but there's a lot of good basketball teams. I think it's wide open. It's going to be a fun year in college basketball. There's just so many good basketball teams, and this is the most excited I've been in a long time, just to see how much parity there is in the game.
There's definitely like intrigue this season that you just haven't seen the last few years, where it just feels like it just, even if Purdue is like the number one team, or Houston is the number one team, or Florida, like even if that's the top three, no one is like, those are going to be three of the final four. It's like, you know what I mean? Or like, not everyone's like Purdue's the best team, or like, it seems like top to bottom, it's like, I mean, like everyone, it seems like pretty much consensus is like Louisville could probably go and win a national championship. Kentucky could probably go win a national championship. It's like, you go down the list, it's like people are all the way, you go down to NC State. It's like, people are like, NC State might be really good. Like, these teams at the bottom of the top 25 might be really good. And like, it's going to be a fun season. It's definitely a lot of intrigue. On that note, we're obviously the focus of today's episode. We're going to kind of preview the weekend, maybe do some picks for the big games. But I will ask, we touched on these freshmen. We touched on some general stuff. But let's say, give me one from the first week of college basketball. Give me one major surprise, one positive, and give me one major disappointment from the first couple of days. And I want to preface by saying, no TCU, no Auburn. So outside of TCU and Auburn,
all right,
give me one of each.
Okay, so for my, and this is hard to say, it's a surprise, but I thought that Christian Anderson down at Texas Tech, the game he had, I think at half he had like, God, I don't even remember what it was, but it was a crazy amount of points, crazy amount of assists. He ended up with 34. I think that was a surprise. They played without two or three of their best players. Really impressive. Another surprise I went through, I thought Indiana looked like a completely different team this year. DeVries, they shot the ball well. They spaced the floor well. So that was I won't say a surprise, but I won't say as expected. Coming into it just with the new coach and everything like that, new player, pretty much completely new team, and just what Indiana's been the past few years. So I think those two teams, I won't say surprised me in specific, because I'm high on Texas Tech, but Christian Anderson was phenomenal. Yeah. Disappointment, let's see here.
Well, no, it's definitely often, think you can, it's also great.
Yeah, like, yeah. That, I definitely think you could throw – yeah, I think you could throw Oregon – in there, hadn't hit a game winner against Hawaii, and that's no knock on Hawaii there. I think the slow start from Kentucky was a bit of a disappointment, just from, I think going into the season, my concern with them was how well can they shoot the three. Granted, they were without their point guard, they're still without JQ, but I don't think they shot the three well in the first half, and they definitely started slow. Defensively, they looked fantastic, but offensively, I don't think that they really impressed me all that much. So I think going into it, they were a disappointment for me. And I'm going to throw – I think Tennessee, just to be honest with you, 19 turnovers in a game coached by Rick Barnes, you can't do that. You're not going to be able to do that night in and night out and beat good teams. You're not going to beat many teams at all if you do that. So I think that was a disappointment for me, and seeing how many just careless turnovers we have. It was just sloppy, miscommunications on defense. So I think you're going to see improvement from a Barnes coach team. We always – it never fails in the first game. We always come out sloppy.
Yeah, never looks pretty.
So we'll see there. And another surprise, I want to shout out your Ohio State Buckeyes and just how many points they scored. And I mean that wholeheartedly. To score that many points in a college basketball game, I know you gave up, 102 or something like that. But regardless, what was it,
118.
Scoring 118, points in a college basketball game is impressive. So
yeah, nice.
That was a surprise to me.
Yeah, it was fucking crazy. It was like I went with my best friend. He's not really a sports guy. He's just kind of like,
yeah.
I'll bring him along sometimes. Like I'll whatever. I wanted to go with somebody, so we're sitting up there together. And I was just like, I just kept saying to him, I was like, dude, this is crazy. Like, dude, we have 66 points at halftime. That's a lot. Like that's a lot of points. Like, you realize, yeah. this never happens. And he was like, what are you talking about? I was like, this is crazy. Like, I don't know, man. These Buckeyes, the Ohio State offense is going to be an elite unit, and their defense is going to suck ass. And that's like, it's going to be the same story. It's just hopefully the offense is a little better and the defense is a little better than last year. I mean, we can, people forget we were top 35 KenPom last year, coming out of the end of the season, right on the bubble. And then, even though we were 16 and 14. So, like, it's really going to come down to it. Again, this year, it's going to be the same shit.
Whatever. Yeah, I went to the Tennessee game. And if you ever go to Thompson Bowling, you will – if you take your phone in, you might as well just put it away because there's no service in there. So, not as many people there on that game. I was getting bits and pieces of the Arizona and Florida game, but I went to check my DraftKings account because I laid some bets down. And I first thing that popped up was the halftime score of the Ohio State game. It was, I think, 66 to 50 or something like that.
Yeah.
And my first thought process was the app just hasn't updated because I don't have service. Maybe it's just not telling me it's the second half yet. Come to find out after the game when I checked the scores, it was 66 to 50 in the first half. Like you said, elite offense. No defense was played in that game at all.
No defense.
But if you score that many points in a game, you don't have to play defense. So you're probably going to win a lot of games. So.
And, we should move on because Nick and I talked about this a little bit, but I will reiterate right now, and I will probably continue to beat the drum for this. If they fall into mediocrity or irrelevance, I probably won't. But if they end up being good, I'm going to like look back and be like, look, I told you. IU Indy has got this guy from D2 that is like, it is the highest octane, fastest offense. They took 76 shots in that game. And they, like, the pace was nuts. And they run this crazy press the entire game. And they foul. Ohio State shot 50 free throws. Like, they foul every play. It was so weird. Wow. It's so unique. It's going to be like, Ohio State is Ohio State. Like, they have, it's a high major team, right? It's like, then that goes to Horizon League play. And they have to run into that system. IU Indy could be, in March. Like, cause it's Horizon League. Like, why
we're
not?
Calling it now. We're, IU Indy lock.
Yeah, exactly.
I like it. I like it.
The worst program in college basketball history is turning for the better. That's I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on from the Ohio State Blaze and let's talk about the first big matchup of the weekend. We're gonna go to Friday. We're gonna go Darren Peterson, Flory Badunga, and Kansas going to North Carolina. Keon Evans, what is it, Caleb
Wilson.
Yeah, Caleb Wilson, right. And Tar Heels, what do you think about that game? Where are you at with
them? Very, very interesting matchup. Obviously, last year was a fun one on that Friday night. You know, watching that first week of the year, and then you get it again this year. It looks like UNC is favored right now.
I am
probably not going to take that, just to be honest with you. I think the sheer power of Darren Peterson and Flory Badunga, and Kansas has impressed. You know, I know they played one game. I watched the exhibition game against Louisville. They've been impressive. I had them ranked 20th coming into the year, but they're a team that's definitely going to move up on the board. I cannot buy into this UNC team yet. I'm not going to do it. I don't think I'll do it all year. That could prove me wrong, and I probably still wouldn't buy into them.
Final four.
And I'll call it a fluke. I'll call it a fluke. I can't buy into this team yet. But I'm starting to slowly buy into a little bit of Kansas stock. Which, how crazy does that sound? And a Bill Self coached Kansas team buying stock. Like, they're normally the best team in the country, or one of the best teams in the country. So buying stock for a team that's like that, it just feels weird. Yeah. But God, Darren Peterson is good. Flory Badunga is really good on the defensive end.
He's awesome.
23 points in his first game with this year, 6 rebounds. I mean, surely impressive there. The Flory Badunga and I can never say Vassar for UNC. I think that's how you say his name. That matchup is one I'm really going to pay attention to. I think who wins that matchup could potentially win the game. That's an exciting matchup to watch. Darren Peterson, I know they're probably – Darren Peterson, I don't know, and Caleb Wilson probably won't guard each other. Potentially, that would be a fantastic watch. But those two, those are going to be fun to watch. But like I said, I'm buying Kansas. I'm probably going to sprinkle a little bit of money on the money line for Kansas. Hopefully, we can get it at plus money. I know on ESPN Bet, which is what I'm looking at, it's minus 110. So maybe by tomorrow night. Yeah. We'll,
did you see that as of today?
What was it?
Yes,
I did see that.
Defunct,
did they got DraftKings now? I think it's the partner.
Yeah,
maybe
they did. Yeah, exactly. It is crazy. It's crazy because you know that used to be unrelated, but you know that used to be it's Penn. It used to be Barstool Sports.
Barstools,
and then like Barstool works with DraftKings, and Barstool hates ESPN, so it's like hilarious, run around. But beside the point. I might be nuclear play on UNC here. Like, really? I'm a sucker, but like, I genuinely think this UNC team, I mean, I picked them in our contenders draft, and I feel like I have to like go stick with them here. Cause like,
you did.
I think they have top to bottom great talent in like, offensive talent, like Kean Evans is really good, like a really good off ball player. And like, I don't know. I like call me a madman. I like UNC here. I think they are -1.5, but like they're plus money at the -1.5, so it might as well be even to me. Like, all of the money is on Kansas. Like, everyone's taking Kansas. I'm putting on my gambler hat more than my my fan hat or my sports watcher hat. But I'm like, I think you're going in to North Carolina. You're going into one of the better atmospheres in college basketball, and it's like whether or not it's. Like these are blue bloods in down years. Like that's probably fair to say that they're both a step lower than they have been in the past. But like the hype, if you're a fan, if you're a student at UNC, the hype is going to be there, right? Like you're going to go into this game pumped for this result. And like, I don't know, man, Caleb Wilson, Vassar, Kean Evans, Trimble was good and like kind of as a role player, which I think I think Trimble got a little overhyped this summer as being like a star. I think he's a great role player, and like he's a guy you want. And then Luka Bogovac is the off the bench is like a guy who I'm like pumped about. Like 10 points, 3 rebounds, 5 assists in 20 minutes. He comes in, he was gunning. I mean, he shot like 30%, but who cares? Like he has proven his efficiency in Europe. I am gonna take UNC here, and if we're gonna just talk about the betting lines, I'm gonna take them at 1 minus 1.5, and I'll take my extra $2 from the bet or whatever, plus 102. We'll see.
And I think it's fair. This game, it's a toss-up, though. It really is. I think the betting lines are very accurate here. It's a toss-up. I feel like a lot of these big-time games to start the year are toss-ups for the most part, just because we don't know a lot about them. Like I said, I'm not going to buy into a Hubert Davis coach team just yet. I don't think I'm going to buy into them at all. They're probably going to win the national championship now, and I'm going to look stupid. you'll look very smart if they do. So at least one of us will.
Look like a genius. I will say, if you want to talk basketball reasons, also like Florey Badunga in Kansas in general, I think have this like great backline defense. Like interior defense is really strong. I don't necessarily think they have the guys on the perimeter that can handle this like high octane like shooting offense. And like if UNC's shooters are playing as well as they can, playing as well as they have for their respective teams in the past, I just think they're going to like shoot the lights out on Kansas, and they're going to be it's going to be high scoring, fun game. I think, and I think it could be high threes, a lot of points, and I will take I'm going to take Kansas here. All right, let's push along here. I'm just trying to see if there's any other games on Friday worth talking about, or we just move along. Yeah, we'll push on to Saturday. Saturday, you got a great Saturday slate, I will say.
Yeah.
And I think you got to start with Alabama St. John's at noon on Saturday. It's Alabama going into St. John's. St. John's is favored by 6.5. It's a high-octane offense. Nate Oates, LeBaron Filon going to New York. It's got to be at MSG, right?
Yeah, it's at MSG.
Yeah, going into MSG and playing against this new-look St. John's team, which is full of talent, has been a strong defense in the past. It's Rick Pitino versus Nate Oates. Bryce, where are you at with this game, or where are you leaning?
So, obviously, with Alabama, they're known for their high octane offense, and they're known to play absolutely zero defense. That's who they are. That's what they do. Last year at St. John's, you think about really, really, really good defense, absolutely no offense. This year, it's completely like this year. St. John's is all it's got offense. It's got defense.
Yeah.
It's got scores. It's got a fantastic big man. I love St. John's in this game, and I think St. John's by a decent amount. I LeBaron Filon's fantastic for Alabama. Aiden Holloway's fantastic for Alabama. Do they have the interior presence to stop St. John's? That I don't know just yet. Going into Madison Square Garden and playing Ricky P, I just don't think you come out victorious there. I think you're going to see a ton of points in this game because it doesn't matter whose defense Alabama's playing on. They're going to score points regardless who it is. That's just who they are. They're going to shoot a lot of threes. They're going to make a lot of threes. And if they're not making a lot of threes, they're going to get blown out by this really good St. John's team. St. John's is good. Alabama's good. It's another really good matchup. But I'm going to have to ride St. John's and Ricky P here. He's not losing in MSG. It's just not happening. I just don't see it.
So from you said by a lot. So you're taking St. John's -6.5. If we're talking about it from that perspective, that's your bet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shit. I don't know. Cause it's like, on one hand, you're Alabama, you're going to MSG, you're playing Rick Pitino, Zubi Ejiofor, Bryce Hopkins, Ozias. Like, this team is so talented. Like, every time I look at their roster, I'm like, I cannot believe how many players they have. Did you see Ian Jackson's stat line from last game? 15 points, 6 of 6 from the field, 3 of 3 from three. He didn't miss a shot, and Rick Pitino's in the interview after the game, like, shitting on him. Like, he played perfect. And like Rick Pitino's getting in the interview, and he's being like, yeah, we just need to make sure Ian doesn't pass the ball to the other team anymore. And it's like, this guy's psychotic. Like, how could you bet against him?
Yeah.
But, you know, you give me Nate Oates in Alabama in a regular season game with bright lights, I like it. Like, I like Nate Oates in these, like, big regular season games to, like, go out and try to make a statement. And if we're talking, I would pick St. John's to win. Like, I wouldn't screw with that. But if we're talking 6.5 points, I'm tentative. I'd say if we're talking about the spread here, I'm not going to bet this game, but my pick would be Alabama +6.5, I think, because that offense is unreal. And, like, I do think St. John's, as talented as they are, this is a completely new look team, and they're going to have to be able to run with Alabama. Yeah. And, like, that is easier said than done. Like, a lot of great teams have struggled with Nate Oates' offense when it comes to the defense. And, like, as good as Rick Pitino is, as good as St. John's is, I think they are the best team in the Big East still. But you give me 6.5 points, I'll probably take that. And I would go with Nate Oates and Alabama in that spot, I think.
Like you said, the pace of the game would be my biggest concern with just how fast Alabama plays and with the amount of new players that St. John's does have. Their offense, Alabama's offense, is tough to guard just because there's so many moving parts. They'll take a shot when you're like, how are you getting that off? Just because they want the more shots they take, the happier Nate Oates is. It doesn't matter if it's a good shot, bad shot. He's happy with it. I think a big thing for Alabama is second chance points and rebounds off of long rebounds from a 3-point shot. How well can they do that against St. John's will be the telltale sign of this game for me. And then also, how well will St. John's do with the pace of Alabama? We know St. John's has an excellent defense, but like I said, you can have an excellent defense against Alabama and they're still going to score points, so you're going to have to score with them. So that's definitely a concern there, but I still love St. John's in this spot just because of, for one, the hype of the game, for one, Rick Pitino in Madison Square Garden and his amazing, probably fantastic suit he's going to wear.
Well, he's going to be mogging Nate Oates. He's going to be making Nate Oates look like a little boy.
Absolutely.
Stanchion in the middle.
So I think it's an interesting matchup to start the year, and you got to, you know, give kudos to Nate Oates and scheduling-wise, because he's got a gauntlet over the next 4 games. I can't remember who all he plays. I know he plays Purdue. I don't know who else it is, but he plays just – the next 4 games are just absolutely going to be so much fun to watch. And if you look at KenPom, he gives them 4 L's in a row, so they could start the season 1-4. But if you look at it from the flip side and they go, you know, 5-0 to start the year, they're probably the number one team in the country. So, they play Purdue, Illinois, and Gonzaga, three top 10, you know, KenPom teams, and then top 15 in St. John's. So, kudos to Nate Oates for scheduling that.
Is Gonzaga in the top 10, KenPom?
KenPom will love Gonzaga
insane,
until the end. They were in the top 10 last year. And seed or 6 seed or 8 seed?
Yeah.
He loved them.
Yeah, I don't know. Nikki obviously grew up diehard St. Mary, so I feel like I'll take his mantle. I'm not a big Gonzaga guy, not a big Mark Few guy, but
it's fair.
But the guy can party. We know that.
Yes, he can party, and he loves him an adult beverage.
Yeah, that's an all-time clip where he's like, I'm not taking the test. It's like, I respect, because you know damn well.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on from Mark Few's DUI, and let's go down to, let's go, or I guess up to Michigan Tom Izzo versus John Calipari, Arkansas headed up to Michigan State. Michigan State struggled a little with Colgate in their opener. It was not – they ended up winning by, I think, 12, 15 or something like that. But they were close at halftime. It was close into the second half. What do you think here with Calipari going up to Michigan? Michigan State is favored by 1.5 points. The over-under is 155.5. Who are you?
Yes.
At?
So it's not March yet, so Tom Izzo is not in full form. This game basically doesn't even matter. I love this Arkansas team. I'm coming away more impressed every time I watch them, either it's in their exhibition or their opening night. Their freshmen are just phenomenal. Trevon Brazil had 25 points in the opener. They have so many scores around the perimeter. So I'm going to take Arkansas probably at the plus money line here, even with it being – is it at home at Michigan State or is it at a neutral?
It is at home at Michigan State.
Ooh, that's tough. I thought it was a neutral for some reason.
I think that's got to be – because, I mean, it is, right? The Breslin Center? Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think that's why they're getting 1.5, right? Because it's like –
yeah.
Realistically, if these two teams played on a neutral site, you got to think Arkansas would be favored by 3 or more. But when you go up, when you're in East Lansing, like, shit gets hairy. Like, that. Did you see that atmosphere for Colgate, dude? Like,
yeah.
We were texting. We were bitching about Ohio State and Tennessee and how empty that arena is. So, like, it's like, they represent for basketball, which I guess because they don't know football.
It's impressive. It's crazy. And you got to love it as a you know, basketball guy. It's awesome to see for whoever, whatever the opponent is, that they're packing that place out. That definitely changes my opinion a little bit just because of how much home court advantage I think matters in the beginning of the year. Two highly studded freshmen going into East Lansing against Tom Izzo. I'm actually going to reverse my pick here, and I'm going to go Michigan State, surely because of the home court advantage. I'm a big believer in that, even though I am picking Kansas over UNC going into Chapel Hill. But I'm going to take Michigan State here, even with the talented Arkansas roster coming in with Malik Thomas and Darius Acuff, Trevon Brazil, Carter Knox. But I'm going to take Michigan State here, and probably not by a lot, though. It'll probably be a pretty close game, go down to the wire. But give me the home court with this game.
You know, I'm not just doing this for show, man. I'm going to have to go the other way again. I'm going to say, give me Arkansas. And I honestly don't know if it's going to be that close. I think Arkansas, from a talent perspective, is really blowing Michigan State out of the water. Like, these two stud freshmen who both had over 20 points in their debut. And then you go down the list, and you guys got DJ Wagner starting, Thomas off the bench. Like,
yeah.
Calipari Calipari has his problems, but, like, dude, the guy can put a team together. And, like, as tough as it is to play in Michigan State, and I could see them winning close, I'm going to give me Arkansas by 10 points. Like, I think the talent difference is significant. And, like, you have to, we haven't seen much, right? But what we have seen is Michigan State in their first game struggle with a mid-major program. Mm-hmm. And, like, so I'm going to take stock in the fact that Arkansas played a mid-major program and won by 30. And, like, I'll go with Arkansas here. I think Acuff and Brazil are unreal. And, like, yeah, I'm gonna go with Arkansas by a bit in this one.
So we are flipped. No, you pick. So you pick St. John's to win, but you pick Alabama on the spread.
I would go St. John's to win.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good though. That's good. I like it.
Yeah. So if we're talking, that's right. That's a good point. All right. Any thoughts on Oklahoma Gonzaga?
I don't have a ton, to be honest with you. We can kind of go through it. I'll pull it up here. Is it at Gonzaga, correct?
It is.
Okay, so for that, and I didn't watch Oklahoma in their opener, so I don't have too much on them. I also didn't tune in to Gonzaga's opener as well. But looking at the stats, Grant Foster had 15 and 5. Braden Huff had 14 and 5. Graham EK, I got scolded on TikTok for calling him Graham Ike. Sorry for my pronunciation issues. EK had a double-double in that game. I think the talent on Gonzaga is just going to kind of overcome of Oklahoma's roster going into Gonzaga at 10:30. The jet lag's still going to be there for Oklahoma with the time zone change. Give me Gonzaga. What is the spread on that game? Let's see.
It's Gonzaga 11.5.
11.5. Ooh, that's a lot of points. Yeah. I'm going to take Oklahoma with the spread, but I would definitely take Gonzaga with the money line.
Yeah, that's fair. Hey, good deal. I don't really. I mean, yeah, I would agree with you, but I'm not going to like. I don't have a strong takes for Gonzaga Oklahoma, but it should be a good game. I mean, I hope it's entertaining. Okay, let's close it out here. Let's hit Sunday. Sunday slate, not incredible, but we do have a team that you had highlighted earlier in the episode. Indiana going to Marquette. No, playing in Chicago. So Indiana Marquette in Chicago. Any thoughts off the bat while I try to find the line?
Yeah, so I think I like Indiana in this one. I was, like I said, came away super impressed just with – I know they're not playing a highly touted team in their first game, but I do like what Indiana – I like the build of the team. You know, Tucker DeVries, Lamar Wilkerson is fantastic. I was really hoping that we would get him out of the portal when he did enter. Reed Bailey, Sam Alexis, they had – what, five guys in double digits. Tucker DeVries had a double-double. I like Indiana in this game. I don't know what the spread is, but I like Indiana to win the game outright. I don't know a ton on Marquette, but I'm not the biggest Shaka Smart guy, so I'm going to go DeVries in Indiana here.
Yeah. I'm probably being lockstep with you. Marquette, to be fair, one of the only 2-0 teams in the country at the moment. So, credit where credit is due. Chase Ross has looked good. I do respect Shaka Smart and like this, like no transfer, like I'm doing it my way, like whatever. But like Nick and I talked about this when we talked about the Big East. It's like, you do the Dabo Swinney method.
Yeah.
And then you end up looking like Dabo Sweeney, right? Like, it doesn't necessarily work out, even if you try to zig when everyone else is zagging.
At Marquette would be such a school that you could really buy into the basketball program and get good transfers. But it's just this old school mindset that these coaches have that they just don't believe in the portal. And I think... Yeah. It's just not something that you can do. We've seen it at Clemson and with Dabo. It doesn't work out. Everybody's doing it. You gotta buy into that. And I feel like with a school like Marquette, who just loves college basketball and loves basketball in general, is a school that they would have buy-in to go get these top end players. But Shaka just doesn't want to do that. And I think you'll slowly see a decrease in the players that they get and them competing in the Big East. Year to year, so which is unfortunate because Marquette's had some really good teams with what was that, Tyler Kulik, is that his name, I think, if I'm saying that right. God, he was fun to watch. I've heard he's not the brightest kid, but when you can play basketball like that, I guess it doesn't really matter. So I like Indiana in this game, though, just kind of back to the point.
I probably would pick Indiana, too. I do think, though, if Marquette wins, and if Chase Ross continues to play as well as he's playing, and if this Marquette team with no transfers continues to succeed, that's going to be, like, they could be getting some major talent in coming years because, like, if you can tell a kid, like, hey, you know, Kolek came in. Once he got his chance, he starred. Cam Thomas, once he got his chance, he starred. Yeah. And now, who was the guy last year? What was his name?
I know you're talking about, but I can't think of his name.
But, you know, he comes in last year. Chase Ross comes in this year. Like, these are guys who were not high production players before. Yeah. And, like, they were promised these big roles, given the big roles, succeeded in the roles. It would be cool to have at least one that's kind of doing it different. But I do think Indiana is a more talented roster, and I think DeVries is probably a better coach as well. So I would also take Indiana in that one. That's at 1 p.m. on Sunday, but don't worry, it's on ESPN, so no one can watch it.
So yeah, I've already had to switch to the Hulu for this because of YouTube TV and all that. Yeah, it's a mess, but to do it on a Saturday during college football and then the opening week of college basketball – unbelievable. Please, YouTube TV. I know you're not listening, but if you are, figure it out. YouTube TV is so much better than Hulu. I don't know how to work Hulu yet. Please bring it back.
Yeah, it's a problem. And you know what? Bryce, you know, you're taking the easy way out. I'm saying fuck ESPN. Fuck Disney. This is a problem. Like, you know, you can't do this. You can't do this on... Like, there were big games on Saturday that I could have watched. I could have watched Miami on TV. I was pissed. Like, and then, like, yeah, you're right. It's like, oh, big college basketball game. Oh, Monday Night Football tonight. Perfect. I can't wait to watch. Oh, NBA on ESPN tonight. Awesome. Oh, shit, wait. Can't watch any of these because ESPN decided that YouTube TV's money wasn't green enough for them, and they wanted to go have their own streaming service. And now I have Adam Schefter on my timeline being like, oh, it's YouTube TV's fault. It's YouTube TV's fault. Like, go sign this waiver, whatever. It's like, oh, suck. Fuck you. Like, it drives me absolutely crazy.
And if you want to watch multiple games at a time, if you do switch to Hulu, you might as well go buy about four TVs because there's no such thing as a freaking quad box. Quad box was the greatest thing invented of all time.
Yeah.
And YouTube TV's got it. And then Hulu is going to be this big thing now, but, you know, it's always big. But, you know, because people are switching over, make a damn quad box. I want to watch four college basketball games at one time and enjoy them, but now I'm having to have an iPad over here, a computer over here, my TV right here. I'm bringing a TV in from my bedroom. Like, I don't like to do that. I would rather bring a TV in my bedroom than I'm watching eight games at a time. Get it fixed before the big games start happening every Saturday and every Monday and Tuesday. Get it fixed, YouTube TV, please, please. I'm not signing your damn waivers or anything like that, but get it fixed.
It is it's one of those things where it's just like you do have like these moments where, like, as a consumer, right, you're like, are you kidding? Like, it's like, it's literally Google and Disney. Like, how is this happening? These, you guys have infinite money. You don't need to do this. Like, you could these games, first of all, the games should be free, and that's a whole different conversation, but, like, they should, none of this shit should cost money to watch because everyone's paying for everything else anyway. But then it's like, okay, we're paying for the system. We're paying for YouTube TV, which has been, like, perfect for years, and it gets more expensive every year. And you hold on to it because it's a great product. And it's like, ESPN's like, eh, we're going to pop off, switch to Hulu, which, like you said, sucks. Yeah. And it's terrible. It's really a... It drives me crazy.
To continue on this topic, you're a Big Ten guy, so this is something coming from a down south guy. The Peacock and the Big Ten thing where you're having to watch these big games on Peacock.
Yeah, it sucks.
What are we doing? Like, we're trying to watch high-level football and college basketball games, but I got to go download Peacock and pay for it now, which thankfully I've got, you know, a friend that has it that I get to watch it with, but we're taking away the game from people. Just put it on one thing. Like, are we going to have to go back to cable? Like, we have such
a good thing. That's what's wrong with it. That's exactly what's wrong with it. Because it's like, the whole cool thing about YouTube TV was like, all right, here's all of it. And here, it's live TV like you're used to, but it's streaming, so it's cheaper. And we still have all the same shit. And now it's like, slowly, it's like, wait, not anymore. Now you need this. Now you need this. Now you need this. Yeah. So it's like, okay, so the channels, like, we're just doing, it's just like, everyone said this is, like, not, like, my unique thought, but it's like, we're just doing cable again. Like, we're just doing, like, you have to pay for everything separately. And also, the thing with, like, the Peacock thing or, like, ESPN Plus or, like, these games being, you know, wherever on Tubi or whatever, it's, like, when it comes to, like, watching sports on, like, a Tuesday night or whatever, I don't want to go to Peacock to turn a game on. I want to, like, shuffle through my channels and be like, oh, you know, fucking Purdue versus Michigan on a Tuesday night is close. Like, this is a fun game. Yeah. Like, or, oh, like, look, like, Western Kentucky's in a good one, like, coming down to the wire here. Like, let me watch the last 5 minutes of this. Like, no one wants to watch – go have to go out of their way to watch, like, some – random SEC or some random Big Ten game. They want that available on the TV so they can flip through it. It is. I mean, it's literally like, it's terrible.
It's unbelievable, and it's going to continue to get worse. I going into it with YouTube TV, I think they did this right before the college football season started. They had this whole dispute, but they got it fixed. So that was obviously my thought process was, they'll get it fixed before Saturday. I don't have to worry about it. So I gave them time, gave them Friday night. You know, there's not a ton of good games on. We can deal without it. Okay, whatever. Going into Saturday, I'm getting to my tailgate. I'm thinking, all right, you know, college game day. We're getting a little close. It's like 8 o'clock, you know. All right. And then here comes 9 o'clock. Nothing's been done yet. Yeah. All right, now I got to go buy Hulu because I want to watch Tennessee plays at 7:30 tonight. I got to have something to do while I'm sitting here for 10 hours. Yeah. Watching something, so it's a money grab. It pisses me off because YouTube TV is perfect. It's a perfect thing for all sports. The quad box is fantastic. Hulu, you suck. Disney, you suck.
Fuck Hulu, sucks. Fuck Disney.
All of them. They suck.
Screw them all, And now good luck to us ever getting a job. And,
ever getting a job there.
Sports
but,
media in our life.
Yeah, we're screwed.
No, we're Fox. We're just Fox guys. We're just big Fox guys.
I've always been a big Fox guy.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, always been a Big Ten guy. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Living in Tennessee, Big Ten has always been my preference. So.
I will say Tennessee is sneaky not far from the Midwest.
No, it's right there.
Closer than you think. Yeah.
When I came to Ohio State, I had never been to, you know, the North or like Ohio or, you know, Indiana, all those places. So. Coming there, I was thinking, oh, God, that's going to be so freaking far. Of course, it was like, what, 5 hours for me, 5.5 hours, and a really, really easy drive, too. So I was really thrilled with that. And all the cities you get to go through, like Cincinnati, you have to go through that shitty state in Kentucky, unfortunately. But you can get through that just by sleeping if you're the passenger. But that's the only downside of going to Ohio is having to go through Kentucky. But other than that, it's great.
that's hard to argue with. Kentucky sucks, and we can all admit that in the grand scheme of things.
The one thing that's good about Kentucky is you could bet player props in Kentucky, and you can't do that here in Tennessee, unfortunately. But you can bet player props in Kentucky.
Not for pro.
Well, for pro you can, but I don't tend to gamble on pro. I'm more of a college guy, so when I went through Kentucky, I was putting money on Dylan Sampson. I put money on Dylan Sampson over yards because he had been balling all year, and then he doesn't play a whole half. And I don't even think he played like half the game or more than half the game, and we got drilled by Ohio State. That's a different topic. We don't have to talk about that. But well, that's the only good thing. That's the only good thing about Kentucky.
Here's the one thing I'll say about that game. It was super cool how all those Tennessee players didn't wear shirts because it wasn't even that cold or whatever. That was badass stuff.
Name me a time when a team has done that and has won the game.
You won't
name me a time. You won't.
I will not. We'll talk about this for a second. We can hop off. I know you got some stuff to do, but like, let's make sure we cover the Ohio State Tennessee game from 2 years ago before we get off. But the build up to that game coming off of like losing to Michigan, and it's like, oh my God, we suck, fire Ryan Day, and it's like Tennessee fans are taking over the city of Columbus. Yeah. It's like there's going to be more than half. And if you watch the game, it was like it was a lot of orange. Like it was mostly orange in that stadium, and like Ohio State just like flexing their muscles and like. That was like, oh my God, we might have a chance. might be that good. This is like,
and even if you look at it, Ohio State had the most talented roster in college football last year. It just, beating Michigan the past few years for Ryan Day has just not been something he can get done. And please, for the love of God, do it this year, because Michigan sucks. I hate Michigan. No, I just can't stand them. But if you look at it, we got beat by the best team. We got beat by the champions, so you can't even really be that upset about it. Yes, we got absolutely blown out. We look like idiots taking our shirts off and and doing all this before the game. We filled up half a stadium with orange, and then the team scores 17 points, and one of the touchdowns was with like 2 minutes left in the game. Very disappointing. That was probably one of the first Tennessee games I've left early in a few years at least, because of how upset I was for one and just how cold I was for two. I dressed with everything you can think of to stay warm, and I was still cold. So that was a very miserable experience. But everything else, Ohio was awesome. The campus was cool. The stadium was awesome. The light show thing that y'all do is cool. So it was cool.
I'm glad you liked it. It's Columbus, Ohio. It's like a great place. Yeah. One of the best places. Probably one of the elite cities in America, as anyone would agree. There's a new Intel facility coming in. No big deal. All right. But on that note, we can chug along here. Bryce, I appreciate you coming on. I mean, I say I appreciate you coming on. You're on. I mean, this is going to be our second episode of the week. Every week we'll be meeting you, Nick and I on the first one, and probably some crossover down the road, I'd imagine. But it was great to talk to you again. Is there anything you want to plug before we hop off here? And then,
Just like I keep saying, all socials, College Court Talk. I'm thankful for them having me on. We're going to, continue to do things together and grow with each other here, and just continue to follow us both and see, daily and weekly content from the podcast and other content we're going to be posting. So enjoy the college basketball weekend, enjoy the college football weekend, but mainly enjoy the college basketball weekend, just because we have so many good games on Saturday. Just enjoy it.
All right. Thank you for listening to Mid-Range. Hammer UNC. -1.5.
Go Jayhawks, baby.
Catch you guys next time.